and the appreciation of art. He tried to teach him about free will, self-denial, and doing unto others as you would wish them to do to you. They both read to the child extensively from the Book of Revelation. Despite their best efforts, Warlock showed a regrettable tendency to be good at maths. Neither of his tutors was entirely satisfied with his progress. When Warlock was 10, he liked baseball. He liked plastic toys that transformed into other plastic toys, indistinguishable from the first set of plastic toys, except the trained eye. He liked his stamp collection. He liked banana flavour bubblegum. He liked comics and cartoons and his BMX bike. Crowley was troubled. They were in the cafeteria of the British Museum, another refuge for all weary foot soldiers of the Cold War. At the table to their left, two ramrod-straight Americans in suits were surreptitiously handing over a briefcase full of deniable dollars to a small, dark woman in sunglasses. At the table on their right, the deputy head of MI7 and the local KGB section officer argued over who got to keep the receipt for the tea and buns. Crowley finally said what he had not even dared to think for the last decade. "If you ask me," Crowley said to his counterpart, "he's too bloody normal." Aziraphale popped another deviled egg into his mouth and washed it down with coffee. He dabbed his lips with a paper napkin. "It's my good influence," he beamed. "Or rather, credit where credit's due, that of my little team." Crowley shook his head. "I'm taking that into account. Look, by now he should be trying to warp the world around him to his own desires, shaping it in his own image, that kind of stuff. Well, not actually trying. He'll do it without even knowing it. Have you seen any evidence of that happening?" "Well, no, but by now he should be a powerhouse of raw force." "Is he?" "Well, not as far as I've noticed, but he's too normal." Crowley drummed his fingers on the table. "I don't like it. There's something wrong. I just can't put my finger on it." Aziraphale helped himself to Crowley's slice of angel cake. "Well, he's a growing boy, and of course there's been the heavenly influence in his life." Crowley sighed. "I just hope he'll know how to cope with the hellhound, that's all." Aziraphale raised one eyebrow. "Hellhound?" "On his 11th birthday, I received a message from hell last night." The message had come during The Golden Girls, one of Crowley's favourite television programmes. Rose had taken 10 minutes to deliver what could have been quite a brief communication, and by the time non-infernal service was restored, Crowley had quite lost the thread of the plot. "They're sending him a hellhound to pad by his side and guard him from all harm. Biggest one they've got." "Won't people remark on the sudden appearance of a huge black dog? His parents, for a start?" Crowley stood up suddenly, treading on the foot of the Bulgarian cultural attaché who was talking animatedly to the keeper of Her Majesty's antiques. "Nobody is going to notice anything out of the ordinary. It's reality, Angel. And the young Warlock can do what he wants to that, whether he knows it or not." "When does it turn up, then, this dog? Does it have a name?"
"I told you. On his 11th birthday, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll sort of home in on him. He's supposed to name it himself. It's very important that he names it himself. It gives it its purpose. It'll be Killer, or Terror, or Stalks by Night, I expect."
"Are you going to be there?" asked the angel nonchalantly.
"Wouldn't miss it for the worlds," said Crowley. "I do hope there's nothing too wrong with the child. We'll see how he reacts to the dog anyway. That should tell us something. I hope he'll send it back, or be frightened of it. If he does name it, we've lost. He'll have all his powers, and Armageddon is just around the corner."
"I think," said Aziraphale, sipping his wine, which had just ceased to be a slightly vinegary Beaujolais, and had become a quite acceptable but rather surprised Chateau Lafitte 1875, "I think I'll see you there." Wednesday. It was a hot, fume-filled August day in central London. Warlock's 11th birthday was very well attended. There were 20 small boys and 17 small girls. There were a lot of men with identical blonde crew cuts, dark blue suits and shoulder holsters. There was a crew of caterers who had arrived bearing jellies, cakes and bowls of crisps. Their procession of vans was led by a vintage Bentley. The amazing Harvey and Wanda, children's parties of speciality, had both been struck down by an unexpected tummy bug, but by a providential turn of fortune, a replacement had turned up practically out of the blue.